I'm Hillary Hendershot, your host, and this is Profit Boss Radio, episode 93. Profit Boss Radio is your weekly wealth mastermind. Profit Boss is also a community and a movement for women who are ready to take control of their money, break the glass ceiling, and give ourselves permission to finally have enough. Want the secrets of wealth to be yours? This is the place. I'm Hillary Hendershot. I'm a certified financial planner running a leading advisory firm for women, and I'm sharing with you real stories from real life and real women who are making it happen. Forget Wall Street. Let's do this, ladies. Welcome to today's episode. I am coming to you on the heels of Profit Boss Live. If you've been listening to the show, you know that we had our first annual inaugural live women's wealth building workshop in San Jose, California. I do know that, asking people who listen to a podcast to come to an in-person event is a big deal. And I'm happy to say it was a smashing success. I still really haven't organized my thoughts about it. We worked so hard, and my mind was so consumed with the event for so long that being on the other side of it is, I mean, it's a miracle, and I don't fully have my feet on the ground about it, but we had about 50 women in a room together for 8 hours. We were together from 9 to 5:30, and then, by the way, everyone came to the hosted cocktail hour afterward. And I would love to get some people who attended the event to come on to talk about their experience. And so if that's you, write to us at media@hillaryhendershot.com. We'd love to schedule a brief conversation, because I want people to hear how it was for you and how you feel that having attended Profit Boss Live will impact your 2018, your money, your growth potential, your trajectory. I want people to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. So thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart to those of you who came. And you probably noticed there was no episode of Profit Boss Radio last Tuesday. I was just so consumed. I was so intent on being 100% focused on the event. And I got to Sunday and Monday last week, and I realized I don't have an episode for tomorrow, and it just didn't happen. So I apologize for that. And so I'm excited to bring you this interview today. I was just listening to it again, and I am absolutely just so blown away by this woman, Jackie B. You know, it can be hard to get non-audio professional people who haven't had media experience or training to do a good podcast interview, right? They just get nervous, or they don't articulate well. But I'm listening to Jackie B's interview, and I'm like, I think this is the best interview I've ever done. I think that I am so inspired by what this woman has accomplished in her life, and she tells her story in just a really engaging way. And I knew the minute I met her that she would. So I'm so happy that we got her on the show. When I met her, she said to me, "Look, at when I got divorced, I was broke, didn't have two nickels to rub together, couldn't even feed my kids, and I started embellishing shirts and selling clothing for just to get money so I could buy food, so I could put food on the table. And now I own essentially a clothing empire." She said, "I live in my dream house. I paid for all my kids to go to college." She said, "I have had a total financial transformation." And she didn't even know I had a podcast when she told me this story. And my jaw hit the floor, right? So that's essentially her story in a nutshell. Let me read to you her bio. We ask all of our guests for a bio. So she says, "My name is Jackie Bouzeron." I hope I'm saying her last name right. She goes by Jackie B. "I'm from Los Angeles, California. I'm a single mom who started her own clothing business from the ground up and put three kids through college. My journey began following my divorce, which led me on a path to independence and self-discovery. From struggling to pay the bills to living in my dream home, my path has created who I am today. I believe in empowering women and supporting others to find the potential within. Now, the website, and she does business mostly in person, so her website isn't that built out, but she's at JacquelineBClothing.com, and I was looking at her about page, which was written by her daughter. Now, check this out. One word that anyone who knows Jackie would use to describe her is heart. My mom is the most wholehearted human being I have ever known. From every gift she ever gave me to every piece of advice she instilled in me, it was clear where her heart was at. This word heart perfectly encapsulates her business as well. From its very conception, my mom used heart to build something that would turn into something amazing. What she built put my brothers and I in the colleges of our dreams and gave me every opportunity I could ever imagine. Isn't that incredible? I'm like choked up. There you go. Hillary Hendershot crying in the intro to Profit Boss Radio, episode 93. That said, I hope you love this conversation between me and Jackie B. Jackie, welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm excited.
Jackie, I'm really excited about our conversation. I've been thinking about you for, it feels like 6 or 9 months. We sort of met through a completely different community and program, and you just happened to tell me your money story, and I about hit the floor. And I mean, so inspiring. There's just been, I can count on one hand the number of women who've told me money stories that really, really bowled me over. And you're one of them. So I can't wait to bring this to my Profit Boss Radio audience, and they're really going to be inspired by you. So let's just kind of start in the middle. You told me your financial turnaround happened sometime after you got divorced, if I'm not mistaken. Can we kind of start there?
Absolutely. Okay. So it was awesome meeting you. It was perfect timing, by the way. And it was just like great. Like we had an instant connection the minute we saw each other.
Yes.
So, and thank you for having me be on the show. I had a pretty intense divorce, let's just say. And I got married right out of high school. So I didn't create a career. I was just really his wife. And it's kind of hard to believe. People don't necessarily believe that when they meet me today, because I'm so different from that. But I wasn't independent of him. And we were married for 16 years, and we ended up having a divorce. And needless to say, he was not a happy camper. And I wasn't the smartest. I didn't do the smartest choices. I weighed spousal support, which wasn't my best choice. But that's okay, because I learned a lot. But I had gone for child support, and his way of being really mad at me was to hold that back too. So I was left with, I got these four kids and I got to make it happen. And I was
Were the
really,
kids with you all the time?
Oh yeah. I also knew better than to have me pull them completely from him for financial reasons. Like that was not going to happen. So it was important for them to have a relationship with him. Like I knew that, and I was young, but I still instinctually knew that. And, I could tell you today, they're extraordinary human beings and they have a great relationship with him. Even I do. But going back then, this is 20 years ago. Let me finish with that. And it's pretty amazing how it's turned around. But I was unwilling for these kids to not have what they needed, like not feed them, I was not willing to have them not have it all. And I remember looking at my kids saying, look, it's going to get really scary for a little bit. We're just going to eat peanut butter and Wonder Bread. And I was a coupon saver and I really, really buckled down. But I remember the day that I just made the choice that I was smarter than this, like surviving wasn't going to be enough. And I started. What I did was I actually, one of the questions you had asked me earlier is, did I read a book or do programs or anything? And I had done a program called Landmark Forum, which for me was life altering. It was like the lights came on. And what I got, the profound, quick thing that I got was choice, that I could choose the way my life went. And I was a force to be reckoned with from that moment. And when people ask me today, like what the difference it's made, that was over 20 years ago. It was like 21 years ago, is I'm always my word. I always keep my word. So people from all walks and like every part of my life, everybody wanted to be part of what I was creating. And I started I literally would put my kids to bed and start embroidering like t-shirts and dyeing t-shirts in the kitchen sink. And
can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So you, just to get some detail here, you get a divorce, you're in this big house. Is the house paid for? Do you have a mortgage payment?
Oh gosh, I totally forgot that part. No, back up. Remember, I was nobody, so I didn't have my own independent credit.
Right.
Which was a whole other game. I actually had, again, this is about being your word. I had people rally around me and literally enroll the leasing company, because the people were out of the country that I leased their home from, to lease me this house. When I look back, it was a miracle.
So, you had no income. How did you pay the lease?
I immediately started working. I started working wherever I could.
So you're just doing whatever you can to bring money in. Did you have money in a savings account? Was there any cushion?
I want to say maybe $4,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Literally maybe $4,000. But I was working like little odd jobs, and I would, and you know, immediately I started to rally together and get what I could to sell and start to like play with it. And this is how I started my business. Like I bought and sold things, or I knew people in the business that would let me take stuff and then I would sell it out of my trunk. I mean, literally it was from my trunk that I started.
And I remember, were you selling things that you own, selling your belongings, or what were you selling?
I was selling clothing that like I would get from people, or I would, because I had started in the clothing business. I was in the clothing business, and my ex-husband was in the clothing business. So I knew people. So I had people that would let me take inventory and sell it and then pay them back. Or I would take blank t-shirts and dye them, and the dye house would let me have credit. I mean, these were people that were letting me have credit that didn't really know me. I mean, they did know me, but they didn't have any real guarantee on me.
And when you say,
but they believed in who I was.
And I get it, having met you. And when you say you're selling things out of your trunk, or you're not like standing on the street or selling to moms at the 2-3 o'clock school pickup, who are you selling to?
Okay, so it's funny because we are asking questions and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that part. I remember, there's some vivid memories. So my hairdresser was somebody I grew up with, and she would trade with me whatever I had to have my hair done. And she would always get everybody in the salon to go outside to the car and look to see the wares that I had to sell. And I remember the one time, and this was, you know, ways back, I sold so much. I want to say it was like $750 that I remember that relief of crying the whole way home that I was going to pay my rent.
Yeah.
But I was always on time. It always worked out.
Why do you think that is? Have you thought about how sort of magical that is, that you never slipped? I mean, most people would be like late.
Yeah. Well, there's two things, and it's funny to hear my kids share about it, but I definitely have had the electricity turned off like for 24 hours, or the water and power turned off for 24 hours, but I never was late when I know this sounds bizarre, but I was never late with people.
Okay.
Like my rent was a person, and I really valued my word. I knew that all I was my word. And till this day, there's not a person I couldn't pick up the phone with, like my old landlord, that would say she was not on time. They would all vouch for me. And I don't know where I got that, but I knew that that was really important. So, yeah.
Pretty magical. And it really is keeping your word when you know how to keep your word that enables you to also be someone who can make promises that are bigger than you know how to fulfill on. And I'm sure at this time you felt, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you must have been completely overwhelmed, not knowing how to accomplish what you needed to accomplish.
I would say overwhelmed, petrified, but never frozen. And this is one of the things I love to share with women. I wasn't a victim. I was a ray of light that people followed. I mean, people, I had four little kids. I got asked out on dates and nobody could understand that. And it was because I was a ray of light. I was not a victim to my circumstances. I was always somebody that just pushed through it and kept on pushing through it and kept on creating what I could do next. And, you know, having a garage sale if I needed to, and just doing whatever I had to do. And when you walk through life more as a contribution and giving, things happen, miracles happen. I mean, I could fill up your show for the next week of the miracles that have happened to me and the contributions that people have been to me, because I have always been that person. No matter what, even when I didn't have money, I had custody of another child. Like that was just who I was somebody that I wasn't a victim to it. It was just like, how was I going to put these kids through college? Because I didn't get to go to college. I dropped out, right? I don't even want to say I dropped out. Yeah, I kind of dropped out. Yeah, kind of dropped out to get married. And, you know, and I thought that was the way it was, you know, but I was not willing to have my kids have that. I wanted my kids to have access to everything.
Yeah. And I think I want to pick apart two of those things that you just said. First, the not being a victim to it. And sort of the other side of the hand of that is if you're not a victim, if you're not bringing, I'm a victim to the situation, do you feel like you were empowered, or what way of being were you bringing?
My favorite term of all, I was cause in the matter.
That's right. If it is to be, it's up to me.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing you said is, and it's so magical, because a lot of times on this show, I talk about things to stop saying about money. For example, you have to stop saying, I can't afford that. And I say, you know, if you can't find it in yourself to say, I can afford that, start with, how can I afford that? How can I make that happen? And that's just exactly what you just said. How can I make sure these kids get everything? How can I send them to college? Because you didn't know, but you didn't start with, oh my God, I'm never going to figure this out. It's too much. It's too big. College is too expensive. I can't do it. You never went there.
No.
Yeah.
It was, but if I'm being really honest, because I think that this is an important part to cover, I do remember wanting a house. Like, I wanted a house. I was always in somebody else's house. And I remember having a conversation with one of my mentors, who I adore, his wife. And she said, oh, why do you want a house? It's just so expensive. And the percentage rate is this. And I was like, okay, well, I'm never going to have a house then. Like, that was a dream almost too big for me to have. And college was a dream I had, but not a $250,000 college. You know, like, that wasn't, I didn't even think that that's what colleges costed. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I had dreams, but they weren't, I didn't even know what they were because it was so out of my realm. But I always thought that it would have to be a version of me. Like, I'd have to be this, and I share this actually, that I'd have to be pretty enough and skinny enough and great enough for a guy to buy me my dream home. If you would have told me it was going to be me, it would never have happened. And I'm sitting right now on this podcast, sitting on my custom made sofa because it had to be big enough for all four of my kids to watch TV, and doing this podcast in my dream home.
Okay. So we've skipped a few steps. I'm glad you're in your dream home. Can we rewind way back to like childhood, like your formative years? What do you think happened, or what were the things in your reality that had you become someone who then got into a marriage, didn't have a career, didn't pay attention to the money? What were the mindsets, and what was true for you about money and yourself in relationship to money?
Okay. My parents were, that's really important actually. So my parents weren't very happily married. So I didn't really know what, partnership and, you know, like a really loving, happy relationship was. So that was the first of it. So he was 10 years older than me. He told me we were getting married and I said, okay. So I didn't realize that women or I had choice, or that I could actually create something. So my mom was very, very subservient to my father. And that's the childhood. I was like, men tell you what to do and you do it. But I also remember having this really strong feeling of like, I should be able to do it the way I want to do it. Like, I want to be able to do this, or I want to be able to do that. But my parents' relationship to money was very scarce and very minimal. And we didn't go to, we didn't buy designer things. And if we bought a pair of Dittos when I was a kid, that was like the most important thing we had in our wardrobe. And my mom treated it that way. So scarcity was the language that we spoke.
Yes.
Did not have a lot. And I didn't know that I could be like, I, again, really the pivotal point was when I was 31 years old and I did the Landmark Forum, was I actually got a choice that I could say, hey, I don't want to ruin our credit, or I don't want to buy a 5,000 square foot house to my ex-husband. Like, those are the choices he made and I followed.
And so in the marriage, were there investment accounts, were there savings accounts? Did you, was your name on them? Did you know where they were?
No, there was nothing. He was very, and he still is really, really, really bad with money, horrible with money. And I would, I was ignorant. Like, I didn't know things, and my parents were not, didn't have money. So I didn't have a relationship to money. And what I remember, I always remember saying, don't gamble our home, don't gamble our home. And we ended up foreclosing on our home.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cause I didn't, I want that ever. I needed my home to feel safe. So it's funny, cause I always refinance this house all the way down to the lowest payment. Not that I couldn't afford it, but it just feels safe to me because certain things do follow you for sure. And I, he was terrible with money and he still is today.
So, and you got, so, okay. So, so that's what led you to where you were. You found yourself in this crisis and you had to have money. So you're selling things out of your trunk. And how does it start to evolve from there?
I was like unstoppable. I took risks. I went to people and asked for like a credit on things. And, you know, like for one, for instance, one person credit on fabric to make a particular garment that I knew was going to sell. And they, and people did it because they experienced me as my word always. And they back, so there's a lot of people that I contributed along the way, but I always, I mean, I was really, really careful. I reinvested everything. And I, if I couldn't figure something out, I didn't react to it. Like, for instance, if I created a style that didn't work, I would set it aside. And it's the running joke. My kids call it resurrection. Everybody in my life calls it resurrection. I'll set it aside and then something will come to me and I'll redo it and it'll be the hottest seller.
Really?
It's so, I mean, it's a really actually quite funny. I should have framed the first few because they really were, they were turning points because they like all of a sudden, it, like, I'm like, why did I do it that way? It's not selling. And I'll set it aside so I don't react to things. And I don't, I'm very unemotional about my business. I know exactly what I want to pay for things and I will not pay more than what I'm willing to pay.
How did you get there? Because that's a leap most, I don't even think I could say that I'm unemotional about my business. How were you able to produce that?
Well, probably from looking at, I have a very dear friend that I do the buying with her in jewelry and she has a really good eye. So she comes with me for clothing and I watched like what works and what doesn't work. Like I looked, I was really over there with people and looked to see their reaction to the way I was about things. And I realized that I knew that I needed to be at a certain amount, like a certain dollar amount for that shirt. And I was like, this is what I'm going to order. And I started to just be like, it wasn't personal. Either I'm going to have it or I'm not going to have it. And everything in between is just like loud noise. That makes sense.
Oh God, it makes so much sense. It's so great to hear you talk like this because this is exactly how I say to people, you've got to get yourself detached from the emotions. If you need a, you know, $3,000 a month to live on, you got to go get it. Yeah. And there's like, no, like everything else is just noise.
Yeah. And wasted time. Like so why I said, I told you why I bought with my friend, she's actually a really good example for me. Cause there's times that I'm literally, I look at her and I'm like, just zip it. How much do you want to pay for that earring? Okay. Let me deal. Cause she gets all emotional about it. I'm like, what, people don't even know what to do with your emotion. They're like, what do I do with this lady? And they literally call me the hammer and her suppliers give me gifts because I'm so straight about it and it cuts time. And that's, I think, really why it's because she gets mad that they give me gifts. And I laugh and I'm like, because I turn it into a 20-minute ordeal and you're a 2-hour because there's no emotion in it.
Right.
And that's how my suppliers are with me. I'm like, don't get offended. I'm going to go through the line. I'm going to get what I want. This is what I want. I know what I want. And I trust myself. A big part of it. You got to trust yourself.
So the divorce is happening, but you're making it happen. You're asking for credit from people. You're coming through on your promises. And so there's this point of making it, but then at a certain point you did a lot more than just make it, right? You really created success. So talk to us about that escalation.
You know what? It was just, when was the pivotal point? I think really, honestly, is when you believe in yourself, like your confidence level, like you get to the point where you know what you're doing and you stop doubting yourself. It's almost like it thrusted forward. And I just, like I do my business and without taking the emotion, I see what's right and what's wrong, what's working, what's not working. And I apply those, and that's usually what will like push it to the next level and then push it to the next level. And
when you say push it to the next level, do you mean you raise your personal income or what does that mean?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
And was there something specific that happened that really boosted your confidence that you can recall?
Well, I think it was, first of all, it was that I could just start paying my bills and like that things were fluid. I remember paying everything 100% instead of part of. And that was like, that was a huge breakthrough, like just being like doing everything 100%. And then like even buying, like sometimes, you know, like my credit card bills for my inventory will be $80,000. Now, if you would have talked to the girl that just got a divorce, that would make me throw up.
Right.
But you know, I mean, I'm serious. Like I sometimes laugh at it because I think, if I let that person take over, I'm in trouble. But if I be non-emotional about it and just let the growth take over and the confidence of what I'm doing, like yes, it's all sold. So then yes, I should go and I should increase it 25% and I should keep going in that direction, then increase it 25%. And then when something doesn't work, I'm like, okay, that, you know, like I added handbags 1 year, never do that again. But you know what I mean? Like I just learned from my mistakes and I don't repeat them, but I don't beat myself up and I don't have it be personal.
I got that. And so how did you decide how much money to take out of your business and pay yourself in the beginning? So first of all, let's talk about how you went from being someone selling other people's clothes out of your trunk to someone who owns your own business.
Well, okay. So I don't really even know the steps of it, but I can tell you what happened was borrowed $5,000 from one of my girlfriends. I don't know why I forgot that. And she gave me a year to pay her back. And I paid her back in, I think, 4 weeks. And I remember the accounting firm, because they were my accounting firm for my divorce. They didn't even charge me. Like I was kind of like their pro bono, like let's do-gooder thing. And I walked in one day and the accountant looks at the paperwork and then he looks at me and he goes, is this real? I go, yeah. And I was well into six figures within the first year. And what that was it was just that everything I moved forward and it wasn't even in order to, it was just being cause. Like I am a powerful woman and I can make this happen. And I kept on buying and reselling and reinvesting. And Look, I don't have a business education, and that's really why I wanted to be on this podcast. Is I'm nothing special. Like I don't have any, you know, financial big, you know, family with money or I have this huge financial background of education. I don't. This was grassroots, but I created formulas that had to work. Like I wasn't going to touch anything that wasn't a minimum of 3 times the amount or 4 times the amount that I could sell it for. Now that's not even, most retail stores don't even do that.
You wanted a 300 or a 400% markup.
And I wasn't going to touch it unless I could do it. And I made it happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
I like have this thing that, that not, I don't want to single out women because I really believe this about all people, but that women, we don't be victims of our circumstances, that we are a powerful mm-hmm. being and we can actually make it happen. And I've definitely taken women on and like helped transform their businesses. So my girlfriend that I shared about with the jewelry.
Yes.
It was 1 year that she did, I want to say maybe $500,000 of business and actually almost went out of business. So I had to, and what that was that she was just spending and everything was an emotional buy. So she bought what she liked, but never really looked at what you bought and sold and what your loss is and all those type of things. And I had to go inside with her in her business and really look at and create formulas for her. And now she is hugely successful, hugely, hugely successful. And it really was. And, you know, I still go at it with her and still grab her by the back of the jacket sometimes when we're at trade shows, because I have to keep her in the state of it's not personal. This is a business. It's separate from you, you know, and I've definitely been acknowledged for other women. Another one in particular that her whole life has changed since, you know, and I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell you what I see. People ask me all the time. I've got a really good eye. I was really blessed with having a good eye. Mm-hmm. I could see things. And I could see where losses are or where, you know, like I always say when I get old, I'm going to work in a, you know, in a really fine hotel. And I can definitely tell you what works and what doesn't work. I could see it immediately. So yeah, I believe in standing for other women and what's possible.
And just so people can get a sense, how long have you been in business for yourself now?
Ooh, I think it's been about 15 years.
And how many studios do you have now? Showrooms?
Well, it's not really showrooms. So let me explain to you a little bit about what we do. So what we do is that we are traveling. So we are mobile boutique, and I've got women that work for me that set up these boutiques around the state. And the fourth quarter of the year, which is like October through December, mm-hmm. I travel the South. And well, let's just say we probably go through 30, 40,000 pieces of garments.
At trade shows?
Yeah, they're not trade shows. They're more like, it's funny, when you're from the West Coast, you don't really totally understand them, but they're Christmas shows. So it's a unique little niche that we discovered and we created. And so when we come from California, we go to Texas. I'm definitely a superstar when I'm in Houston. And there's 100,000 people that walk through that one show.
And are they buying one piece at a time or are they buying 100 pieces at a time?
No, they're buying, it's all retail.
Okay, so they're buying for themselves or they're buying gifts.
They're buying, exactly. But nobody leaves me under one piece. So that would be, I would not be doing my job well. I'm really good at what I do. I'm a really good sales girl and I could definitely size people up. And I'm really working on duplicating me. That's really what my next project is creating girls, other women to take over my business and have them be successful so that I'm free to actually, what I really want to do is start leading motivational courses at Landmark as leading the communication course. So that's my next gig that I'm working on right now.
Okay. So in business for yourself for 15 years, and just so people can understand really the trajectory and the success that you've created. What numbers are you willing to share? Business revenue or personal income, or just give us a sense of how that success looks for you.
I would probably maybe tell you that my business does probably over about maybe 2 million a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. And your dream house is in LA. You say you live in your dream house.
Yep. In Thousand Oaks, California.
And in order to buy a house, and I know you have a mortgage, so you have to show high income on the tax return, right? Because you can't, as a business owner, you can't run from taxes. You have to actually show the government that you make money. And that's the way lenders are willing to lend to you.
Yes.
So you were doing things right from the beginning. Sounds like, you know, you were paying yourself well, earning high income. How many employees do you have?
Right now I've got three, And it fluctuates. There's times that, so I when I'm on the road and it hits the fourth quarter. So really what we've created is jamming our business into the fourth quarter.
Oh.
So fourth quarter, I'll have like 12, you know, or I'll have 20 any given week. So it does increase at that particular time of year. But I created that also about the way I love to live my life. Like I love to travel the summer. So that's really how we created, how I created my business is that way, that I leave for the summer. And I, like this last summer, I was in Italy and I do stuff like that.
Incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's fun to share it from the beginning and the get-go because you get to be with what you created, you know?
When you say share it, what do you mean? To tell the story or to share your success?
Tell the story. Like even last night, I wanted to tell the story to my daughter. She's like, Mom, I know the story. I loved it. But the truth is, she was two. But sometimes you forget when you're in it, or you could afford to, you know, you could afford to do whatever you really want to do. You forget where you came from.
Yeah.
And you forget, you know, like, which I really do try never to do, actually. You know, I was sharing with you earlier, sometimes I like to just stand back and look at one of my booths and my big shows, and there'll be 50 people waiting in line. And I'm like, wow, this started with 12 t-shirts, me re-embroidering in my bed when my kids were asleep.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I love to share that and love to tell people that it's, you know, like it's possible. I am not like this, you know, like I'm not special. I am special, but I'm not special in the way that you can't create this too.
Right. You didn't necessarily have the background or the history that points toward being this super successful mom, entrepreneur, and really master of your household. I mean, you were a single mom for a long time. You just got married recently, right?
Well, no, I'm engaged and I'm engaged and we live together. We've been together for 10 years and, but it's definitely like, this is, you know, I create my business. Like it's definitely, yeah, for sure. It's, I created this from nothing.
Beautiful. And so what's it like for your kids and for you as the mom of your kids to have this meteoric success? What do you get to be with them? How have you taught them about money and business? Talk to me about that.
Okay. That is so interesting. Cause we just actually had this conversation with my kids. So one of the things, again, I shared earlier that I did the Landmark Forum and my kids have all done the forum. And I have to say of all this, that my accomplishment is great, but nothing is greater than the accomplishment I did with my children. So my kids are 23, 26, 31, and 34, and they are best friends. And two of them live in Memphis, one in Manhattan, New York. And my daughter is home right now and just landed a killer job in Beverly Hills. But what, when we talk about money and you, it really is your experience of it. So my older two, it's very vivid for them to struggle. Like they'll share about when they remember turning that the lights being turned off. Or my daughter, who's 23, has no recollection at all. She was two. So for her, money is just, it's just so interesting because I share this all the time. For her, money is just a tool. And she makes money and she spends money. And she, for her, like going to Aruba for a week is a normal thing for her. Where my boys, the older two, struggle with spending money because they saw me struggle so much. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My daughter has, like everything I deal with is just like, here, just take the credit card. Because I'm busy and I'm not saying it's right. But for her, that's how the world occurs to her. That money is abundance, but she makes it also that way. Her job pays her very well. So her world is you should travel the world and you should buy whatever you want to buy. Where my boys struggle to spend money more often. And they all say to her, she's a spoiled brat and she's from when mom made money. It's always the joke at the dinner table. Of course, Arielle would have that. She would, of course, have all the designer things because it's such a different time and struggle for it. But the one thing they all do is they all are very integrous with money. And they do value and they're honorable. And they definitely got that from me, for sure.
When you say integrous, say more about what that means.
They just, there's no cheating it. There's no, like, I've always taught them that there's no shortcuts. Mm. And I know, I hopefully this will translate, but I raised my kids and if they were all in the room, they would probably beat me to the sentence. But I always raise them with this, this one statement. If you want to be a tennis pro, hang out with tennis pros. So it was like, how do you choose your friends? How do you make a decision? Like if you want, like my older boys are into real estate. So I'm always like, don't ask people that don't have real estate. You ask people that are successful in real estate. And I've taught my kids on that way that that's what you do. You know, you want to go to college, ask your friend that's going to the best college. How do you get to college?
I love that advice. Why would someone who hasn't done it know what to tell you to do? and you paid for them, the kids, to go to college. That was a big deal for you, right?
It was huge. I paid for three of them. Yeah, because the fourth one didn't want to go.
Okay.
But the last one was huge. And that one was a huge challenge, but I did it. Like, it was pretty amazing.
And 4-year schools, or did they go to community college first? How did you make it happen?
Well, okay. So the first two that went, they got some help from AIDS, and I helped with that.
What do you mean they got help from AIDS?
Like, they did financial aid, and but we had a part that we had to pay, and I helped with all of that. And help with our housing and all that type of stuff. And I was still struggling when the 31-year-old, you know, wasn't making the kind of money. Now the last one, of course, lived in her own house and went to Indiana and went to all the nice stuff. So it really, they all went through school. They all got what they needed. Then they did start, actually, no, Julian, the third one went straight to college. My daughter went to a little bit of community college and did some of it here, which actually I think is a great move. If you ask me, moms ask me all the time. I think it's a really good way and inexpensive way to get some of that stuff knocked out. Yeah. And sometimes they're not ready to go to school right out of high school.
That's what I did. I went to community college first. I mean, it's so inspiring to hear your story. I mean, even you just say, I'm a great sales gal. And I think for so many women, just getting to a place where they could have the courage to do something called sales for a living, when truly we're all in sales, ultimately. Yeah. I mean, you're always either selling someone or being sold, but sales is something that scares some people. And just to hear you talk about it, like it's look, I had to do it. So I did it. And now I'm great at it. is I think a really important lesson for people. And, you know, ultimately you can be attached to your story about life, whether that be a victim story or a sob story or life is unfair story, or you can go make the life that you want but you can't have both.
That's so true. That's so true. Yeah, it really is. As you're saying all that, I'm just thinking about it. It really is like selling is your confident level. And the more I sold, the better I got. Like, and I could sell anything now. and I play games and I make it fun. Even when we're at these huge shows, my fiance, because he's mad at me, he's like, you don't even care if the technology works. You don't care if the cash register works. I'm like, no, I just want it to look good and let me play my games. I know ultimately it'll end up in the cash register, but it has to be fun. It's all part of a game. It's called my life,
right?
You know, so it really is about, you know, having fun and creating it as you go.
And it really does sound like you had fun.
Yeah.
That the way you run your business and the way you've created your life, you get to spend your summer in Italy. You work, you bust your butt for the fourth quarter, by the way, thanks for recording this in the fourth quarter. But you know, you get to go to, I don't know where you're going next year, but it's going to be someplace great. And that's how you've designed your business and your life.
Yeah.
Great.
I'm very blessed.
Life by design.
Yes.
Very good.
Totally.
Jackie, thank you so much for being here and telling your story. I really appreciate it. And I know a lot of my listeners are going to take serious inspiration from your empowered way of being around money.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. It's totally been an honor.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Profit Boss Radio. If you liked it, share it with an artist or creative that you love. And whether you're a painter or a mathematician, may you have all the freedom and prosperity you want.